each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome. Tony, how do you do it? You got to get those headphones.
Know.
How do you do it?
I don't know how I do it.
He just flies right in. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know? I just, anyway, TGIF, thank God it's Friday. But believe it or not, can you believe that?
It's Friday.
I just had a double funeral, a mother and a son.
Yes.
Yeah. It's really, funerals are sometimes extremely draining.
Yeah.
Extremely draining. And the mother was 57 and the son was 23 or 25. But very sad. Very, very sad. Sad, but at the same time, you know, we're people of faith, and so, yeah. You know, Jesus, as he said, he takes the sting out of death, and indeed, either, I don't know, St. Paul might have said that, or I think in the letters, mm-hmm. the epistles, and it's true, you know. Can you, how do you approach the finality of life in such a way if you had no faith, if you have no sense that there's a, you know, that these people who were and remain part of the family, that's the one thing we have to always emphasize. But if you don't see beyond death, that there's something that, I mean, the whole purpose of the salvation and redemption was to save us from slavery to sin and from the sting of death, you know, there's beyond death, there's life. And in fact, as I say so often, we're not condemned to be here forever, and yet we're fully committed to life, but fully committed because we know our destiny, we know where we're going. But it is it's hard because it's a kind of a definitive separation, at least a temporal separation. And when you lose two members of the family, and you read about this all the time, right?
Yeah.
I remember the fire. I had two families that died in fires, and I never forget the, well, both of them were really, really hard, because they were children, you know, children, and in one case it was the three children
That's
and
children,
a mother,
yeah.
In the other case it was five children and their father.
Wow.
And it's a reality. There's nothing more real than death, that's for sure. And I think the beauty of the church is the consolation we can bring to people, even in when they're suffering the grief of separation. The whole gospel message, the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus. That I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am you will be, but I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm with you to bring consolation, to bring strength, to uphold you, to lead you, to guide you. But of course, God needs our response. You know that we enter into this purgation that already begins now in the journey. Life is. I always say in 100 years, the planet will be repopulated.
Yeah.
It's
hard to imagine that. I know when you say that, I think about that, and I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. But how do you imagine?
It's a good question, though. You know, because, yeah. I mean, it's reality. All you have to do is, you know, we look back into history, right. And we read about. I'll tell you one of the things that gave me a lot of consolation when I was diagnosed with cancer and I had major surgery, and when they said it was 4-stage and all that, you know, then of course you automatically you know like your days are numbered, you know, and it's a very dark time. But I take it to prayer, and what proved to be a source of consolation was the fact that I was reading the Psalms, and I was reading sacred scripture, and I was reading from the lives of the saints, and it occurred to me at one point, here I am reading and being consoled and comforted and strengthened by these words, and these are people who lived, you know, over 1,000 years ago,
in some cases
1,000 years ago, or, 500 or 800 years ago. Mm-hmm. But well over 1,000 years ago, and if they had their little bit of time, and 1,000 years later, 2,000 years later, it's more than 2,000 years. We're talking about the Psalms and the, you know, over 2,000 years later, we read their writings, the sacred scripture.
It's interesting. You used to say many times, and I think you still do, get into the story, get into the story. I used to say it over and over again, and I'd say, yes, Father, and I never really thought about it until I started doing one of two things. When I started being in silence, I would think, but then I would get into scripture, and I would read, and it's amazing. And I still find this at this time today, where I've read something 10 times, 20 times, never let it hit me like it does at any given moment. But I would, look at scripture and see how, the Israelites went from one being conquered over and over again, and then, and God would always be there. And I think of today, and I think of how, even although people will tell you, oh, the Bible's just a book, it's a stories, whatever you want to believe, and you can do that until you start really delving in to scripture, opening the book and actually starting to, what they say, research, and just read and understand. And it's more than that. It's for the same. It's for today. You look at it and you see the same things. And it's
nobody could have made up the story.
Yeah.
It's everything is connected.
Yeah,
it's not just a history book, but everything is it is historical. But it's all the way it was. Everything was kind of came together and. You connect the dots and the different themes that are woven through scripture that are consistent, constant, and that it all leads up to the messianic hour, the incarnation. I mean, what was it the other day, last Sunday, we had that reading from, see if I can find it here, from the book of, was it the book of wisdom, or I believe it was.
I think it was.
Let's see here. Do I have it? No, I took it because I took it out. But I believe it was from the Book of Wisdom, and it spoke of the Jesus. The writing, you can't read it and not understand that this is a prophetic message, a foreshadowing of the incarnation. And the implication of the incarnation, which would be the Paschal mystery, the suffering death of the Just One, and that he, and as they describe he, Jesus as or the Just Man, mm-hmm. being obnoxious to us and all this kind of, all this, and that the but so let's condemn him to a horrible death, and let's see if God comes to his rescue, mm-hmm. right? It's but the point is, I think that the beauty of scripture, there's so much there that which by the way should bring us to read the signs of the times we're living in right now, because nothing is new under the sun, and we would be terribly naive to think that we, let's say as a nation, we can continue down this path and not expect that there's going to be dire consequences insofar as if we don't return to God or bring God back to the center, the foundation, and to build the nation on this foundation, which is God, the rain will come, the wind will blow, as Jesus said, but and of course, from the book of Deuteronomy, you know, when the commandments were given, love these commandments, fulfill these commandments, keep the commandments, and you will prove yourselves. You will become the envy of other nations, and they will you will become a wise, intelligent, knowledgeable people, and people will say, who are these people, and who is their God? That and truly, you know, the what does it take to desire and to enter into the discipline of the faith in order to maintain wisdom, knowledge, understanding, to be a people of dignity and grace and nobility, truly a God-fearing people, God-centered people, to live in such a way, it doesn't really take much. It just means, you know, we enter into the discipline and we have that, we don't lose that sensitivity to God and the things of God and all things sacred. And yet there's this propensity to do it my way, to be mm-hmm. egocentric, to be self-centered, to be somewhat narcissistic, you know, either as individuals or even as a nation, collectively speaking, as a nation or nations. You know, it's you begin to understand when Jesus talks about the judgment of the nations. You know, here we're a nation that's been so blessed and given so much and have indeed become the envy of other nations. But now we're in, it feels like we're in free fall,
yeah.
collapse, because, number one, we've relegated God to his heaven beyond the beyond. Or the, if we speak of God, or we, you know, it's a very superficial, seemingly superficial, if you, I wouldn't even call it a relationship, but, or people use God for their own, you know, when we've hit rock bottom, then, you know, oh God, you know, help me. Mm-hmm. But, and I've seen this so often in the course of my life, you know, people come in a crisis. And they've been away from the church, been away from God, have had no regard for the commandments of God. The society has very little regard for the commandments of God, it seems to me. But people come and they say, "Oh, I'm gonna give myself. I'm gonna come back to the church. I'm gonna renew my faith in God." And I keep telling them, that means you got to get into the discipline. You got to get into the discipline. And once the crisis is gone, they're gone. You know, it's in some ways it's almost a way of bargaining with God or placating God. But you know, it's a discipline, and it's a discipline that requires on our part perseverance. And so the whole of salvation history is really the story of a small flock keeping the faith, persevering in the faith, as many constantly go away. But when you get to the point that, you know, you can't sustain a nation or a kingdom or an empire or whatever it is, if you're not grounded in truth, if you don't have concern for your brother and sister, and you certainly don't have concern for God, has to be at the first. He's got to be first. He's got to be the foundation. He's got to be the heart. And once we remove God from the center, then we fall into all kinds of idolatries. And you just, you know, you think about what's going on in our nation, in our country. There's all kinds of idolatry. Or the power. I was thinking the other day, how is it that, you know, politicians, government, you know, some of these members of Congress are, you know, so old. I mean, up in their years, how is it that they don't think about the agenda they're trying to propagate, which is not for the good of the country? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, you'd think that, or you know, to lie and to say lie is a strong word, but I think many people, I mean, the people that I talk to, people don't know what to believe or who to believe anymore. And
well, I mean, you can, you say lie is a strong word. I mean, I try to be as, I don't know what the word is. You try to pay attention to everything. And if someone tells you one thing and then tells you another thing, not long after, I can say that's a lie. I mean, in any kind of terminology, you look, if somebody's not telling you the truth at the time and turns around and gets caught in it, it's a lie. So, I mean, do you then catch this lie and say to yourself, well, you know, everybody does it. It's not really a lie. It is. It's a lie. Somebody has lied to you, or somebody chooses not to answer your question, to me, is an answer itself.
It's the gaslighting.
Yeah.
It's
all these little terms.
Deceiving
now
the exactly. People, manipulating, and you know, I've mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, but I was reading that the nation is going through psychological trauma.
Yeah.
And I truly believe that. But again, the talking heads or the elite, intelligentsia, yeah, but it's, yeah. I just don't see it as the intelligentsia. But the so-called elites in government, in Hollywood, in the media, continue to toy with mm-hmm. The people, and they're living in their own, seemingly in their own bubble.
Yeah.
And especially Hollywood irritates me to no end.
Yeah,
to no
it does.
End. The contradictions, but you know, here we are in the trenches trying to fight the good fight, trying to take care of our families, take care of our communities, take care of our churches, and it's just a strange time. But if God is, what was I reading yesterday? Oh, I saw something. This was on climate change, mm-hmm. and it was kind of a cartoon character, and said that part of the, it was one of these nighttime
cartoon shows.
No, what's his name? I don't know.
Jimmy Fallon.
It wasn't him, but it was one of those, yeah. You know. And I didn't see it on TV. I was watching a news network, and
right. They
had a segment from the because I guess what they all did is they all got together, and they decided either last night or the night before mm-hmm. to make climate change their topic of discussion, or
right.
basically to chide those who don't buy into or embrace the need for major change. Otherwise, mm-hmm. we're doomed. And I'm not going to say one way or the other, because I read from this and that and all that. And again, who do you believe? But the one had a cartoon, and the host of the show, it wasn't Jimmy Fallon, it was one of the other ones, Colbert
maybe.
I think it was
Jimmy
Colbert.
Kimmel, one of them.
I think it was Colbert.
Yeah.
And he was in a dialogue with his cartoon character and you know, the cause of climate change and all mm-hmm. that. And then the cartoon character said, no, it's not just this. He said, there's another cause to this problem. And Colbert, I believe it was Colbert, he said, well, what other cause? He said, it's religion is the cause of this problem.
I was waiting for that.
Religion. And I don't even remember the why that was said,
yeah.
But I thought it was pretty bizarre, you know.
And I was just thinking, as you were talking earlier, for those people that think God, country, and family, I know I'm quite aware of the attack on God. I'm very well aware now of the attack on the family, but now attack on country. So, I mean, is this like the last step? Do people not understand that there are people out there that are attacking all three, and you're not paying attention? Is it a matter of not paying attention? Is it a matter of not hearing, seeing, or thinking it's going to be different?
Well, unfortunately, you know, it's a good question, and the unfortunate reality is, I more and more believe this. I think a lot of people know that something is really not right, and that we've got to get a grip on the very things you're talking about. We've got to recultivate or nurture that faith in God. We've got to return to the basics, you know, fulfill the commandments of God. We've got to safeguard the family, safeguard holy matrimony, holy matrimony, the family, and have a sense of this, that as a nation, we have been blessed, and there's nothing wrong with having national pride. Mm-hmm. Every nation should have, I've always admired, the distinctions and the uniqueness of the very different nations. That's why through my life, I've loved to travel to different nations, mm-hmm. and experience the culture and experience the language and, customs and all this. It's a beautiful thing, but when you obliterate the distinctions, and people talk about this global community, and mm-hmm. I get it, the world has gotten very small because of technology, but do you erase or cancel? Do you cancel culture?
Yeah.
Do you wipe away the borders, cancel the culture, get God out of the way? Under whose authority then are we going to live?
Yeah.
And then you're going to begin. You're going to begin to see what we saw in the last century: man's inhumanity to man. I was talking to somebody the other day too, or yesterday, about the virus. This COVID. It's real. It's real. But it really does seem to me, and I personally believe it is a biological warfare. And I've read somewhere that this is something that they've found that they can. This works to initiate the Great Reset or the New World Order. I never believed in any of that before. I thought that was all conspiracy theory and all that. But there is something to be said for that. And maybe we're all over the place, or I'm all over the place.
Good to be all over the place.
But I just think that if we don't get a grip on this, if we don't return to the basics. The very thing you said, God, family, and
country,
then we're going to, as I say, right now it feels like we're in free fall.
Yeah.
And I hear this everywhere. I hear this everywhere. So it's not a lot of people. But the problem is that too many people don't see beyond themselves, their own, they're living under the idolatry of the elite Hollywood types. You take an example last week when they, and we might have spoken about this, Nick, we'll take a break in just a second here, but Nicki Minaj.
Yeah.
Okay, so I didn't even know who she was. I have no idea who these people are, but she made the news because she challenged the virus. She really didn't challenge it. She said, people study it before you take
That's
it.
That's all she said, and pray about it.
And she said, pray about it.
That caused...
And, all of a sudden they went on the attack, and so she was being canceled. I mean, I guess, if anybody speaks out. But the point is that one of the talking heads of the networks said, sister, you've got 22 million followers. I only have 2 million. You've got 22, chiding her because she influences 22 million people. Now, 22 million versus 2 million... You're talking about the network, that's a big difference. You're talking about 20 million more, and if you've got, if 20 million people are kind of tuned into Hollywood or the today, it's whoever these people are, that they become the gods. These are the people we want to emulate.
That's the thing too, in a sense too, and it's your Facebook, it's your Twitter. I'm probably one of the rare. I'm sure there's people out there that don't partake in any of that, and I'm happy for it. But, as years go on, if you're in a business or something, you almost need that. And that's what people rely on. Now, it's almost like, they say follow the money. When you follow the money, you find out where things land. But it's the same thing. When this is the technology, and I choose to stay away from this.
Right.
But there are people that live and breathe and do whatever on how many followers, how many, you know, right. How many people you have out there that's money for whatever, if you have a business of some sort. And you can't, there's so much deception on that, just like there's deception in real.
But then, and then you cannot, you've seen these things where people go out on the street and they ask questions. Yeah. I remember like on the 4th of July and Independence Day. And they ask, you know, where is the capital of the United States? Mm-hmm. And they don't even know where the who is George Washington? Yep. They don't know who George Washington is. Just like I mentioned, I had walked into this beautiful, beautiful medieval church in in Europe, and it was in a plaza, and it was just so beautiful. I was drawn to it immediately. But as I got closer and closer, I saw this huge mural of Marilyn Monroe. Monroe. And I thought, yeah. Well, what's that doing in front of this basilica? It wasn't the cathedral, but it was a basilica. It was just a big, huge, beautiful medieval church. And well, as I got there, I realized it wasn't. It had become a museum, and they were featuring Marilyn Monroe on her. It was either 50, whatever, an anniversary of her death or something, or she would have been maybe 50, maybe 70. I don't know, 75, maybe 100. I don't know. But the point was, I asked the as I walked in, where they have that, where they're selling tickets and all that. I didn't go in because it wasn't a church. But I asked the young lady. I said, "What is this? Was this a Catholic church?" And she said, "I don't know. You know, I don't. Well, obviously it was, but
I wonder
it was
if she would have said
I,
something like, "What is a Catholic church?"
Well, that's the impression I had. Like, what is that?
Yeah.
What is that?
But Father, again, when I was younger, and I guess it's now a generation, or maybe a generation or two, and I think about this when I was younger, and I would hear people say, you know, Tony, pay attention to things, be able to research and pay attention to your politicians. Voting matters. Your country matters. Family matters. And God above all things matter. And I went through life saying, I'm having fun now. I'm not thinking, someday, when I need that, those things, I'll come to those things. And you see now how a generation or two has passed.
Right.
And people, it's sad when you, just like you say, where's the capital? You know, who's your president? Who's the vice president? Who's the, and people don't know.
What is American independence?
Yeah, what does that mean? You know, it's like, and I've always, as a child, well, as a kid, as a young man, I've always liked history. And even to this day, see how it's rewritten.
All right,
it's just
deconstructing.
It's you can almost it's,
revision
it disappears
history,
exactly.
Yeah, exactly. You think of the old immigrants who came, and they of course they lived in their neighborhoods. And Chicago was very beautiful, well known for this. You had your Polish neighborhood, you had your Irish neighborhood, you had your Italian neighborhood, but they were proud to be Americans.
Yes,
and they wanted to learn the language, and they had that work ethic. You know, you come to America, you work hard, you excel, you provide for your family, and that doesn't seem to be the case anymore.
I'm gonna say it, Father. I'm sorry. I'm gonna say it. I love talking to older people because you get that sense of what you're describing. But I think today, when you have people coming over a border, being mad because they can't come over the border, being told they could, but then there's this back and forth, no, we didn't mean that, and they get mad, they cause problems.
But I don't blame the immigrants.
No, I don't either.
But I'll tell you, you know, it's very frustrating, there's no doubt.
Right.
Because, you know, you know we've always been a nation of immigrants, but there's still people who are trying to get in for years.
Exactly.
They've been trying
still
to get
waiting.
In.
Still waiting. And I know many
but
people
I don't blame,
that love.
But I don't blame because if I could get into the country, I would try to get in the country as well if it meant good for my family. Now, when,
for
there's,
my family,
when
right.
there's evil that's coming across the border, that's a horse of a different color. But the problem is it's the government. It's not the people. You can't blame the people.
No.
But you've got a it's government that doesn't. I mean, I'll tell you, when I went to Italy just to live for a year, it took me forever just to get a visa.
That's
and then
the
when
point.
I went when I got the visa, then I had to report to six different places.
Why
once
are
I
you
got
here?
To Italy,
how long are you staying?
And it's, you know, anyway, we got to take a break. And then I've got a little story. Well, we haven't even prayed. Yeah. But I do. Yesterday was a feast of Saint Pius, Saint Pater Pio, and I've got another little story. Now this kind of moves us away from the national crisis we're in. Unless your head is in the sand, or you're under the lordship of Hollywood or whoever whoever's out
they're
there
doing the Jedi mind trick. This is not happening. Nothing's happening. Yeah, everything's fine.
Everything. Yeah.
All is well.
Eat, drink, and be merry.
Eat, drink, and be merry
until it's everything fall. You know,
we'll tell you when to worry.
We collapse, and then we'll weep at the river of, as the Israelites. You know, once the collapse came and they were exiled, they wept at the rivers of Babylon, and they realized what they had done, that they had violated the laws of God. They had turned their back on God, and they were paying the consequences, you know, and it was a punishment. It was a chastisement, but God would rebuild from that. And in other words, he made it that they would hit rock bottom, that they would lose everything in order to give them an opportunity to humble themselves and from them rebuild the nation, because from this nation the Messiah would come. So for many, it's like, okay, maybe they're oblivious to what's going on, but if we don't make a change, the consequences are dire. They're dire. We will, as I said, it feels like we're in free fall because of the powers and the principalities that shout us out, push us to the fringe, and in doing so, they do it in a very deceptive way, or create the illusion, gaslight. Anyway, we'll be, we'll take a break. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750, WNDZ, and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
All right, pets, pipe down. I've got something to say to you. Yes, that means you too. Please tell your owners that Father Anthony would like to bless all of you on Saturday, October 2nd at 11 a.m. on the grounds of St. Stanislaus Kostka. And if it rains, under the school portico for the St. Francis of Assisi Blessing of the Animals. St. Stan's is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. The Blessing of the Animals, Saturday, October 2nd at 11 a.m. at St. Stanislaus Kostka, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. And the goldfish are welcome too.
The Winds of Change.
Here are two new books from EWTN Publishing. Mother Angelica's Guide to the Spiritual Life, from the nun who made it her life's work to instruct millions. This volume assembles her most profound and timeless advice on how you can grow in holiness and achieve your ultimate purpose, to spend eternity in heaven with Jesus. And Blue Collar Apologetics by John Martignoni, how to explain and defend Catholic teaching using common sense, simple logic, and the Bible. Mother Angelica's Guide to the Spiritual Life and Blue Collar Apologetics by John Martignoni, available now at EWTNRC.com. My Catholic, shop EWTNRC.com.
911, what's the nature of your emergency?
When we're in crisis, where do we turn? We turn to our first responders, the people who run to danger to protect us. These days, our first responders do not often receive the acknowledgement they deserve for their bravery and personal sacrifice. On Sunday, October 24th at 10 a.m., St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish celebrates a blue mass recognizing our first responders, including police, fire, and emergency medical personnel. Come and celebrate with us at the blue mass Sunday, October 24th at 10 a.m. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Visit ststandschurch.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change. The two Tonys here, and We're doing what we do. Which, I'm so sorry.
What do we do? I don't know.
Don't bring me down. You say don't bring me. But it's not the. It's just reality is reality, people. And I was saying last night at the Mass, you know, it was the feast of St. Padre Pio. And, you know, we got to live and deal in reality, but understand that God knows his own. God is with us. And the reason why I was bringing up biblical history biblical history is that we got to understand that, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. And don't think that we can fly high forever. If God is not safeguarded at the center of life, the foundation of life, then we go the way of other peoples in the past. We can see our collapse, and it's just every person is in a sense a kind of a microcosm of the collective, you know, the whole, the nation, the church, whatever, because we all know that in our own personal lives we have to be disciplined. We have to, we should know that we need God at the center. We need discipline, that we have to define boundaries. Everything you do today will determine who you are 10 years from now. And yeah, we're up against the world, and we've got to, you know, fight the good fight and, you know, transcend anything and everything that will want to bring us down. We can't lose our dignity. We can't lose our nobility. We can't lose the grace, or we shouldn't want to. But we know, in order to be intelligent and wise and knowledgeable, and that we've got to do our part. Everybody's got to do their part. They've got to enter into the discipline, and that means we've got to make sacrifice, right? We've got to sacrifice for our own well-being and our salvation, and for that of others as well. And it just seems like we, for the most part, so many don't seem to care. You know, in what ways do I contribute to the disorder? In what ways do I contribute to the chaos? In what ways am I hurting another, or hurting another family, or hurting another marriage? Because I don't seem to want to see beyond myself. It's what I want, what I need, what I think I need, what I think I want. It's following one's own natural inclinations, but no, we've got to be under the governance of God, and allow the Spirit of God to you know, he created us. He sees what he created, and he wants to bring that good, that beauty, that we're created in the, as Scripture says, we're created in the image and likeness of God, and yet we're born into a broken world, a wounded world that suffers the effect of original sin. So therefore, we have sin and death, realities that we have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. But as we make our way, we're not condemned to be here forever, because there's something much better, much more. Scripture says, "Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor so much as dawned on man what God has prepared for those who love Him." Mm-hmm. And so, because we know that we have a destiny, that we're gonna share in the fullness of God's kingdom, but that kingdom has already come, then we make that choice not only for ourselves, but for love of God and gratitude to God, but also for love of others, to be committed to life, to get in the trenches and fight the good fight, and to not put the blame on everybody and everything outside myself, but to take responsibility for my behavior, and to, you know, again, going back to the old immigrants who understood they wanted to be Americans. And America, this is a nation of immigrants. And, they you know, there was that work ethic. You know, you work and you take care of your family. But when we have a government that tries to create now this dependence, we're going to make you dependent on Big Brother or government. Mm-hmm. In other words, we'll provide what you need, what you want. But you got to get, again, God out of the picture. Yeah. It's a disservice to people. It's a horrible disservice. If you don't allow people the dignity of work, then you do a disservice to the people.
Yep.
If people are in a situation where they're just not able to work, well, then we have, you know, we have to take care of each other. We have to provide for each other, but not to depend on the government to provide for everything we think we need, or what they think we need, or what we should have.
Yep.
It's just the whole work ethic, the whole is really this is very disturbing, because it's creating an environment or a society that is just doesn't care, it seems, you know. Anyway, but the shift from that to the feasts of the saints, as I was trying to impress upon the people yesterday as we were celebrating the feast of St. Padre Pio, that we really have to make this part of our prayer daily, and that is that that God raise up in our day and our time saints. We should all want to be saints, which means God-centered, allowing God to take possession of our lives, knowing that if we do so, we come into our true self, we grow into our true identity as created in His image and likeness. He sees the good in us. He wants to bring that out of us. Now, we're always going to be a bit wounded, and we're always going to be, we're going to miss a mark, but to have that great sensitivity to God and to all things sacred, and therefore a sensitivity to sin, that I don't want to shame anybody or misrepresent my parents or my family members. I don't want to misrepresent or shame the church. You know, that we all have a responsibility, so that when people see me, they see Christ. When they see me, they see the church. When they see me, they see my parents. When they see me, they see my brothers and sisters, right? Mm-hmm. There was that sense that, you know, you wanted to give the you wanted to witness not only to God but to your family, to your parents, you know, and to your faith. I don't know that we think in that way these days, and but anyway, that God raise up saints, that we, as Jesus says, you know, die to yourself, lose yourself, and you'll find yourself. And you'll live, but it means you find me, and you'll have life. You die to yourself. I am life. You find this life, and you'll have life. Or as St. John said, I decrease, that He increase. That we live each day, that Christ increase. You know, it's living in a spirit of gratitude, isn't it? Really, to be grateful that I've been given life, and it's. Life in this world is finite. I just buried a mother and a son. I just had the funeral. As I told the people, you know, this is reality. This is the ultimate reality. That's where we have to understand that life is a very precious gift, but it's very fragile. And, you know, the future, and then that's the other thing, you know, knowing where we've come from. Again, this, if we understood history, if we knew what constitutes history, the rise and the fall, of nations, of peoples, but again, God, but see, the good always prevails. Good always prevails, but there's a lot of suffering and a lot of death in the process. But in the end, the evil, it collapses, it falls. And good always prevails, and so the people would be willing to, you know, say if you don't have anything to die for, you really don't know what it is to live. That I got to think beyond myself and beyond my time. Got to think beyond the time we're in. Think about the future. What is the future for our children, our children's children? And I hear many parents say this, and many people say, you know, I'm not so much, you know, I feel for my children, my grandchildren. Because what will the world be like, you know, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years down the road? I'll tell you the truth, as fast as things are changing, what's it going to be 5 years from now?
Yeah.
You know, but all we can do, what can we do? When you feel powerless, when you feel that you can't trust and you're being manipulated, you're being toyed with, you're being social engineered, that there's this psychological engineering going on. What do you do? Well, you go right to the, you go to the basics. You go to your faith. You go to God, because God, as Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail. I will not abandon you. I will be with you. I'm not going to leave you orphans. And, you know, as we look back through history, so whatever happens to our nation, for instance, if it should collapse, if we should lose the freedoms that we took for granted, that we enjoyed and took for granted, perhaps, the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But again, that's not a liberty that says, you know, the free reign of the flesh, do whatever you want. No, it's that we obey the commandments of God so that we can live as a free people in freedom. Hard work, you know, to build business. I mean, this is the other thing that's going, they're just the little businesses are just going away.
Yeah.
They're going away. But what do we do? You know, we look back to our ancestors, those who have come before us, and we remember what it is they went through, what it is. Remember, I mentioned yesterday Tolkien, who went to Mass every day. And again, to think back, we'll go back to what just this past century, what he went through. He was in the First World War. He suffered the Depression, the Great Depression, the Second World War. I mean, think of that, you know. And yet, you know, what got him through was his faith, going to daily Mass. He wrote the beautiful trilogy, The Lord of the Rings, which is about this cosmic upheaval and this battle and the impending doom. And, you know, we got to pull together. We got to leave the Shire. We got to leave our comfort zone. We got to realize that we're not in Kansas anymore, so to speak. And we got to get out there and we got to fight the good fight. And if we don't, you know, then there are consequences. Mm-hmm. And actually, you hear this on Sunday because this Sunday, the first reading is about Moses, who has to be, let's see if I got it here. Moses, God spoke to Moses, and he said, taking some of the spirit that was on Moses, the Lord bestowed it on the 70 elders, and as the spirit came to rest on them, they prophesied. The point is, even Jesus, he had the 12, and then he had the 72. We've got to get into the mission. We're people with a mission, and that mission is to know God, to love God, to serve God, and we serve God in one another. We have to emulate the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ. What parent doesn't sacrifice for their children? But we have to sacrifice for the good of our nation as well, for the good of the church. But it means that we've got to be willing to be sanctified, to be purged, to be purified, to be transformed, to be sanctified. We're in a time when they're really, as Pope Benedict said when he was Cardinal Ratzinger in 1969, we shared this a couple of days ago, it seems to me, but this is the time of the sifting. This is the time of purification. And well, with that, we'll take a break and then we'll come back. And I just share with you this other vision that Padre Pio had. And it's really a very pointed vision, a mystical experience that should awaken priests and the prelates of the church. And then also what, 175 years ago when Mary appeared at La Salette. I tried to get both those in. But the thing is, you know, we've got to desire sanctification. Not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. To have that holy fear of God, that I live so as not to offend God, and to have that great sensitivity, what indeed does offend God? If we're living a life no different from those of the world, those in the world, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We love life because we know our destiny, but we love life because God gave life. God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, not to condemn, but to save the world. Light came into the darkness. People rather chose the dark. They chose not to come into the light for fear their deeds be exposed. We've got to be in the light and bear that light to the world. That's our mission, and that light, of course, is God. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750, WNDZ, and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org. All right, pets, pipe down. I've got something to say to you. Yes, that means you too. Please tell your owners that Father Anthony would like to bless all of you on Saturday, October 2nd at 11 a.m. on the grounds of St. Stanislaus Koska. And if it rains, under the school portico for the St. Francis of Assisi Blessing of the Animals. St. Stan's is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. The Blessing of the Animals, Saturday, October 2nd at 11 a.m. at St. Stanislaus Koska, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. And the goldfish are welcome too.
The Winds of Change.
St. Stan's needs your help. We are forming a group of volunteers called St. Stan's Cares to help parish and school families in times of need. To join the group or learn more, please contact Brian at 312-343-3222, and we will plan an upcoming virtual meeting to discuss the details. Almsgiving, it's one of the 3 pillars of Lent. Volunteer with St. Stan's Cares as a means of almsgiving.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So listen, I've got this another interesting, because one of the things that people say, you know, is we need guidance, the church. We're in the church. We need to know how to navigate through this this strange time we're living in, which is not unprecedented, because, again, you look back in history and people went through worse times, but this really is the beginning of the worst is yet to come if we don't change. Let me just say that, and that we know from history, we've got to make that change. But so, people in the church, we need leadership, we need guidance, we need show us the way. This is a part of the prayer, you know, Jesus, show me the way. Padre Pio had this. This was in 1913. He was in bed, and Jesus appeared. He would have been just a teenager, just a teenager, a young teenager, because he was born in 1903, I believe. So he would have been 10 years old. Can imagine that? But Jesus appeared to me. He says, he was in a sorry state. Jesus was, and quite disfigured. He showed me a great multitude of priests, regular and secular. Among them were several high ecclesiastical dignitaries or prelates, bishops, and all that. Cardinals. Some were celebrating Mass, while others were vesting or taking off the sacred vestments. The sight of Jesus in distress was very painful to me, so I asked him why he was suffering so much. There was no reply, but his gaze turned on those priests. Shortly afterwards, as if terrified and weary of looking at them, he withdrew his gaze. Then he raised his eyes and looked at me, and to my great horror, I observed 2 tears coursing down his cheeks. He drew back from that crowd of priests with an expression of great disgust on his face and cried out, "Butchers!" Then turning to me, he said, "My son, do not think that my agony lasted 3 hours. No, on account of the souls who have received most from me, I shall be in agony until the end of the world. During my agony, my son, nobody should sleep. My soul goes in search of a drop of human compassion, but alas, I am left alone beneath the weight of indifference, the ingratitude, and the sleep of my ministers, my priests, makes my agony all the more grievous. Alas, how little they correspond to my love. What afflicts me most is that they add contempt and unbelief to their indifference." It's a powerful vision that he had when he was 10 years old. And, you know, it's the same today. But it inspired, but God was preparing Francesco, because his name was Francesco. He was calling him. He knew from the time he was very small that he was being called to the priesthood, and became this great mystic with the stigmata. And we shared yesterday many of his quotes, mostly about prayer, love for Our Lady. He calls her the Madonna, our mother. But in the fact that he drew, by the grace of God, hundreds of thousands were at his funeral. And the point is that we have to pray, ask the Lord to raise up saints, to pray for the priests, because, you know, strike the shepherd, the sheep scatter. If we lose our faith, and it is a battle, and if we don't know how to walk alone, you know, you've got to make this lonely walk. I probably have mentioned this before, but somebody, if somebody said, you know, I want to be a priest because I want to serve people, I said, no, you want to be a priest because you want to give yourself completely, holding nothing back, to Christ, Jesus. And it's you get to come with that desire. And then, yes, of course, if you're in Christ, it's Christ living in you, then service will be rendered to the people. But your first responsibility is to Christ. And if we're not willing to make that, you know, what happens is, you know, because it is such a battle, and if you don't have the, if we don't understand the nature of spiritual warfare, and we certainly live in a world that doesn't support this type of language, spiritual warfare, we're at war, we're in battle. Jesus, you're going to be at enmity with the world. You're going to be hated. You'll be persecuted on account of me, on account of my name. But have courage, take peace, I've conquered the world. He sends the apostles. They go, you know, under their death. You know, most of them were martyred, all but John, and Judas took his own life in despair because he had betrayed the Lord. But if we don't realize that we're called into that same battle and unto, you know, unto death, then we're going to get discouraged. It'll be so easy to cave to the world. And then it becomes no longer a vocation, no longer a consecration, but it becomes a profession, or even worse, it's just, you know, abusing power, prestige. There's no prestige today in the priesthood. You know, it's we've ruined that. There shouldn't. I mean, if there's any prestige, it should be because it's I die that Christ live. But anyway, we're running out of time here. But Jesus is weeping in the vision. And so Francesco, he knew where he was going. He knew he was going into the snake pit. Mm-hmm. He was going to have to counter through his own life, allowing Jesus full possession of his life. He's going to have to counter that indifference or that lack of faith, that loss of faith. Mary appeared at La Salette, and she wept. She wept. And what did she say? But, you know, the people, they don't honor the Sabbath. She talked about the priest and the bishops, because again, people, this is where we got to pray, but we begin with ourselves. We got to believe and not underestimate the power of God in us, in all of us, to confound the wise of this world and to be that leaven, to be the salt, to be light in the darkness. It's so needed today. So regardless of what happens to the nation or the world, we've got to remain firm in Christ. All right, that's it. We're out. We're done. Sorry. So much more to talk about, I think. But anyway, have a wonderful weekend. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Peace,
amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao. Meaningless.
strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The